Popular demand, our Christmas segment leading up to Christmas Eve. Today's date is December 17th, 2010, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun, and I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. So, let's get down to it. Whatever happened to Christmas? Well, let's start with the meaning of Christmas. And the best explanation that I ever heard was the one Linus gave to Charlie Brown. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Well, here it goes, because I remember it. It's committed to memory. Don't have to read it off a cue card or a teleprompter or anything like that. It's in my head. And here it goes. Like, here it go. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sure afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Luke 2:8-14. It's committed to memory because as a young boy, I watched Charlie Brown Christmas every single year. And it is a tradition in my house that the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and Charlie Brown Christmas are played in my house. Now, for those of you who prefer a more technical version, well, I have that too. Jesus Christ is known as the founder or central figure of Christianity. Christmas is a Christian holiday on December 25th that commemorates the birth of Jesus. Ancient Romans also commemorated Jesus' birth by marking a division of the calendar, still in use today. The year before Christ's birth are marked as B.C., before Christ, and the years after Jesus' birth are marked A.D., Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Christmas generally means the mass celebration of Christ. Christ is a Greek word and title meaning anointed, or one set apart by God for a special purpose. It does not mean Barack Hussein Obama. Christ is equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah, based on the words of ancient prophets. The first century Jewish people expected the arrival of the Messiah, promised by God as a great deliverer of the people. All right. That's just a little bit of the technical version. Now, what happened at Christmas? Where do we begin? As we are in the midst of another holiday season, it has become yet again painfully obvious to me that the rights of individuals are being stripped away. No longer can we go out in public and proclaim Merry Christmas to our friends without fear of retribution. Our Christmas trees are being renamed family trees, and holiday cards now read season's greetings, as though we're celebrating the change of seasons. Now, the government claims it is merely to separate church and state. But what does Santa Claus and Christmas trees and greeting cards have to do with state government? Being a religious person and believing in the birth of Jesus as the meaning of Christmas, I am not at all offended by those who have different beliefs. Not at all. Santa Claus is everywhere. It has nothing to do with the Christian meaning of the holiday. Yet, my children have happily awaited the arrival of Santa Claus on Christmas morning, each and every year of their little lives, and my grandchildren as well. I have friends who are Jewish who do not celebrate the birth of Jesus or the arrival of Santa Claus. Well, to be fair, some celebrate the made-up holiday, Chrismukkah, named by the character played by Adam Brody in The O.C., I thought was very clever. Chrismukkah, a combination of Christmas and Hanukkah. Very clever indeed. Now, Jewish people are not offended by my good tidings of Merry Christmas, nor do I take offense when they wish me a Happy Hanukkah. We are different. And that is what makes us American. And what makes this country great are our differences. Yet it feels as though we are all being forced to recognize the same holiday this time of year. It is not Christmas, it is not Hanukkah, and it is not Kwanzaa. No, it's season's greetings. And oh boy, do not talk about your beliefs. Don't do that. Is that all the government wants? For the American people to shut up about our differences and celebrate the season by purchasing items by the truckload and giving out gifts to friends, family, and those who perform a service for us? Yeah. There's a giant list out there of those who are expecting gifts from us. And whom we may not even know by name. There's the mailman, the garbage man, the person who cuts your hair. The list goes on and on. Is that truly the reason for the season? Think about it. And now, the news, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the very liberal MSNBC, is reporting that Santa Claus is a bad influence on our children. This fat, jolly man teaches our youth that it is good to be fat and happy. And therefore, a decision has been made that starting next year, all Santas you see in stores and malls will be required to be skinny in order to set a good example. I kid you not. This is not a joke. So I ask you, when did it become the responsibility of a holiday symbol to be the influence our kids look to when maintaining a healthy lifestyle? It is not the responsibility. Things are getting out of hand, folks. I mean, really. So, What do we do about this? What do we do? One wonders. Ask yourselves the question. It is the responsibility of our parents to ensure that our kids eat right and get plenty of exercise. Isn't it true? Apparently not. Say goodbye to the man whose belly wiggles like a bowl full of jelly while laughing and with a joyful ho, ho, ho. Because that could be, call it, that could be a slur. That could take some ho on a ho stroll might take offense to that during Christmas time. But speaking of ho, 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 in Australia, it has been reported that any person portraying Santa Claus is no longer allowed to say ho, 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 as it is offensive to their prostitutes. No, I know you think I'm kidding. I'm kidding about this, but I'm not. This is serious. Look it up for yourself if you don't. If you don't believe, but really, it's true. It has gotten that bad for Santa. How long until we in the United States follow suit and require our Santas to say ha ha ha? I, for one, find it a little more insulting to have a skinny old man in a red suit laughing at me rather than a fat old man in a red suit laughing with glee. If we then require our Santas to say ha ha ha, is the government going to go back and have all the children's books reprinted to reflect the change? How much money will then be wasted? Will an act of Congress be required? Being as I am not of the Jewish faith and do not personally celebrate Kwanzaa, I do not know how these customs are being affected by the commercialization of America. But I am sure that it too is happening. For once, can't we all forget about being politically correct? Our daily lives, our customs, and our heritage do not rely on the government, but by what we do and how we behave. If we continue as a society to let the government turn Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa into season's greetings, then we are giving up a piece of who we are and our rights as Americans to the freedom to celebrate what we believe in. Don't be overcome by the push to say season's greetings to those you pass on the street. Stand up and say Merry Christmas. And if they respond with Happy Hanukkah, well, smile and be thankful that you have the right and the privilege to cross paths with someone who is different. Okay. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get to some politics here. Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican, Oklahoma, and Representative Frank Lucas, Republican, Oklahoma, have responded to a letter to Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke in reference to a small Oklahoma town whose citizens are enraged after Federal Reserve examiners told a hometown bank that it must remove crosses, Bible verses, and Christmas buttons from display because it could be, wait for it, offensive. The bank says the Fed told it the Christian paraphernalia violated federal bank regulations. Are you kidding? Federal Reserve examiners come every 4 years to make sure banks are complying with a long list of regulations. The examiners came to Perkins, the town, last week. And the team from Kansas City deemed a Bible verse of the day crossed and crosses on the teller's counter and buttons that say Merry Christmas, God with us, were inappropriate. The Bible verse of the day on the bank's internet site also had to be taken down. Specifically, the feds believed the symbols violated the discouragement clause of Regulation B of the bank regulations, according to the clause. The use of words, symbols, models, and other forms of communication express, imply, or suggest a discriminatory preference or policy of exclusion. Sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook to me. The feds interpret that to mean, for example, a Jew or Muslim or atheist may be offended and believe they may be discriminated against at this bank. It is an appearance of discrimination. Wow. And there you have it, folks. The war on Christmas continues. MIA, Pelosi, and Reid absent for tax cut bill signing ceremony. I guess they couldn't make it. Let's find out why. Well, I'm not trying to read too much into this bit of news, but it's hard to ignore the fact that the Democrats' top two leaders on Capitol Hill would be absent during President Obama's bill signing ceremony for the Bush tax cut extension compromise. Let's read. Spokespeople for both offices said the Democrat leaders would be taking care of business on the floor of the Senate and the House and wouldn't be able to make it. Oh, you got to be kidding. That's a good one. Can I use that one? Can I borrow that one? Hey, I can't make it. I can't make it to the dentist. I got to be on the House floor. I got some business to do on the House floor. Senator Reid cannot make every bill signing, and right now he is focused on taking care of everything we need to get done before the end of the season, said Reagan LaChapelle, a spokesman for Reid. LaChapelle? Oh, my goodness. I bet Reagan LaChapelle couldn't even say that with a straight face. I mean, a hard-fought bill of this magnitude that will ensure that taxes will not go up for all Americans. A bill signing into law that may usher in a renewed confidence for the coming fiscal year for business leaders, small businesses, and investors. And Reid and Pelosi, well, they simply couldn't make it. They had other things going on. They go to cleaners and get some stuff, and they needed to head over to Walmart and pick up some groceries. And they needed to get over to Domino's Pizza and pick up a couple of pies. And, well, you know, they had a lot going on. A lot of stuff going on. And they really couldn't. They just couldn't make it. I mean, they sent their regards and all. Well, the White House released a list of names, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, of lawmakers who are expected to be there. It includes four other Republicans, Representative Charles Bahotny, Dave Camp, Tim Murphy, and Dave Reckhart, and a slew of Democrat House and Senate members. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs told reporters on Friday that the tax bill, which would extend the Bush-era tax cuts for the rich while keeping unemployment benefits, is a big, big win for Obama. Yeah, uh-huh. We'll find that. We'll find out a little bit later. Here's some other news. Oh, about my main man, Al Sharpton, who wants the FCC to regulate speech on public airwaves. He has publicly gone after Rush Limbaugh every single day this past month and clamoring for the FCC to censor talk radio, and specifically Rush Limbaugh. Well, in an upcoming documentary about classic TV agitator Morton Downey Jr., I used to watch. I have to admit, I used to love it. Well, it may end up being a great flick, but the film star might not be Downey, but rather Al Sharpton, who is seen in the movie's trailer screaming a gay slur. Oh, yeah. FCC didn't censor him, did they? Well, The Smoking Gun explains the documentary focused on the acerbic chain-smoking talk show host whose 1980s program was filmed in Syracuse, New Jersey, and whose audience was filled with current and future probationers. Think of it as a precursor to Jerry Springer. Apparently, the Reverend Al Sharpton was a regular guest on the program, and apparently he wasn't as sensitive back then as he is now. For those who thought the highlight of the trailer is a brief time capsule look at Al Sharpton, then a rotund Brooklyn reverend, during a commercial break, but while cameras continue rolling, the civil rights leader is seen yelling at an audience member who likely had commented negatively on Sharpton's weight, race, bow tie, or affiliation with the notorious Tawana Brawley, or perhaps all four, saying that he was tired of them acting big. Sharpton told the unseen audience member, "You ain't nothing, you punk faggot," end quote. Well, let's quote that so folks don't think I'm saying this. Not that I would care, because I wouldn't, but let's start over. Sharpton told the unseen audience member, quote, "You ain't nothing, you punk faggot," end quote, gesturing for the Downey fan to come up to the stage and rumble. Sharpton added, "Now come on and do something." Wow. Well, since becoming a respectable leader now, Reverend Al has dropped. He dropped a few pounds. So I guess we can give him a pass, because he dropped a few pounds and he's no longer calling folks punk ass faggots. And I guess that's a good thing. But you know what's going to happen next. Yep. And here it is.
And said, "We got to run to the middle now. I asked, why should I run to the middle? Who said, well, we're need equal opportunity. I want a shot at the nomination. Don't want to wind up in Harlem with a cartoon hairdo. Reporters and interlopers call me daily for some things that I might have done before. Chase Mr. Beerbelly or Hillary. Get these mutts away from me, you know. Nobody cares if they can't shop at Freddy's Fashion Mart no more. If you give me money, I will be your long lost pal. I've been called everything, but people up in Harlem call me Reverend now. Reverend now. Some people at the DNC say that I just want attention, or I give the wrong kind of impression. Or, whoa, my rap sheet is long. Where are my reparations? What if I leave here? Who'll be our role model now that Jesse Jackson is gone? Gone. He ducked back down the alley with that roly-poly little brawly girl. All along, along in my candidacy, there will be hints and allegations. Amen. Hallelujah. If you give me money, I will be your long lost pal. I've been called everything. The people up in Harlem call me Reverend now. Reverend now.
One more time.
Joe Lieberman came up to me and said, we got to run to the middle now. I asked, why should I run to the middle? Who said what we're really for? I need equal opportunity. I want a shot at the nomination. Don't want to wind up in Harlem with a cartoon hairdo. Reporters and interlopers call me daily for some things I might have done before. Chase Mr. Beerbelly or Hillary. Get these mutts away from me, you know. Nobody cares if they can't shop at Freddy's Fashion Mart no more. If you give me money, I will be your long lost pal. I've been called everything, but people up in Harlem call me Reverend now. Reverend now. Some people at the DNC say that I just want attention, or I give the wrong kind of impression. Or, whoa, my rap sheet is long. Where are my reparations? What if I leave here? Who'll be our role model now that Jesse Jackson is gone? Gone. He ducked back down the alley with that roly-poly little brawly girl. All along, along in my candidacy, there will be hints and allegations. Amen. Hallelujah. If you give me money, I will be your long lost pal. I've been called everything. The people up in Harlem call me Reverend now. Reverend now.
All right. No, 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 no. That was enough. I never get tired of that. And I think I'm sure a lot of you haven't heard it. But while we're in the mood, while I've gotten folks in the mood to hear a tune or two, let's go to a clip that we played yesterday about Obama paying for Peggy Joseph's gas and mortgage. Check it out. She says that Obama is going to pay for her gas.
Peggy
and her
Joseph
mortgage.
Took her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment. Because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
All right. The Anointed One, the American deity, Barack Obama. The young lady believed, her name is Peggy Joseph, you can find this clip on YouTube, said that Obama was going to pay, or rather that she didn't have to worry about paying her mortgage anymore and put gas in her car or anything of the like. Yes. Oh, and You know what? I played these yesterday, but I just can't help myself. Here's just one more. It is delicious. Check it out.
Let's go to the audio sound bites this week. Here's a portion of Ken Rogolski reporting on WJR in Michigan. Two people here in line for Obama cash.
Why are you here?
To get the money.
What kind of money?
Obama money.
Where's it coming from?
Obama.
And where did Obama get it?
I don't know. His ass. I don't know. I don't know where he got it from. But he's giving it to us. They help us.
We love him.
That's why we voted for him.
I sure did, and I filled it out, and I am waiting to see what the results are going to be.
Well, you know today how much money you're getting?
No, I won't, but I'm waiting for a phone call.
What from?
I believe it came from the city of Detroit, or state.
Where did they get it from?
The funds that was given by Obama.
And where did Obama get the funds?
Obama might have gotten the funds from, I have no idea.
In downtown Detroit, Ken Rogolski, WJR News.
Now, let me put this in perspective. This is the model citizen in Barack Obama's vision.
All right, that kind of thing makes a black man like me claim Puerto Rican. My mom is Puerto Rican from Spain. And I'm from Spain now. I mean, Dad, you know, I want to apologize because I can't be black today. After listening to that, how embarrassing. Now, I don't want to get into the whole race thing because I just did. But there's not a single clip on YouTube of a white person or an Asian person or any other ethnicity even remotely suggesting that Barack Hussein Obama was going to give them free anything. If there is anywhere out there on YouTube, please email me, text me, come on the air and show me where a white person or any other ethnicity besides black people are getting on the air or are on some clip somewhere suggesting that Obama is going to give them something for absolutely nothing. This is where we're headed, folks. This is where we're going. Free stuff for everybody under Obama's watch. Get your pitchforks. Get your pitchforks ready. Obama is losing support. Obama is losing support from the left. He's losing support from the middle. He's losing support from the right. Liberals are up in arms and they're threatening violence. They're threatening revolution, armed revolution. Now, it's not being reported in the mainstream media, or as Rush Limbaugh calls it, the drive-by media. It's not being reported out there. News folks, citizens, communist, Marxist, socialist are saying that with the passage and the signing of this new tax bill into law is going to usher in a nationwide revolution against anybody who has any money. Now, we've seen in several states arsonists going around looking for the most expensive houses in the most exclusive neighborhoods and burning those homes down to the ground. There is a backlash on people who have things. Where did we see this before? Where did we see this? Russia? Long, long time ago? Italy, when Benito Mussolini took power. The Third Reich, Adolf Hitler's time. A backlash against people who earned an honest living, made a little money, acquired a little property. Their things were either destroyed or taken from them. And most recently, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, seeking to nationalize everything. If there is any justice left in this world and in Venezuela, if history teaches us anything, Hugo Chavez will be strung up by his heels, buck naked in the town square, and folks will be throwing rocks at him and hitting him with sticks, a la Benito Mussolini and his wife and one of his cronies, his henchmen. This is what happens when a political figure provides an air of hope and change while very skillfully omitting the idea of personal responsibility. When a president comes into power, a charismatic, well-spoken, not entirely bad-looking, suggests that government can solve most of your problems, that government will look out for you, that government will take care of you and your needs. Just suggest it ever so slightly. And then can't deliver, because Obama cannot deliver these things. He cannot take care of every single family. He can't provide jobs to everyone. He can't do any of those things. He cannot pay a young woman's mortgage and put gas in her car and get the old lady in Kissimmee, Florida, a new house and a new kitchen. Or did she want the new kitchen in the new house? And he can't pass out checks, although he's going to another 23 weeks or 33 weeks of unemployment. So he will be passing out checks, because now the unemployed will get more money so they can stay at home and chill and just, you know, bring in the in some states it's right around $330 a week, which isn't a lot of money, but it's not bad. And in other states, depending upon what their policies are, it could be as high as $450 a week. I know Seattle's is right around that much. And that's a pretty good chunk of change for sitting at home and doing absolutely nothing. You can probably get by with some food and pay the bills, the gas bill and those kind of things until you find a job. You could probably get away with that. Probably. It's better than nothing, and you're getting it for absolutely nothing. Those 99ers who are getting 2 years' worth of unemployment, and then having the government say, and pundits, political pundits, and newspaper folk, and economists saying that, well, giving people something for nothing stimulates the economy, because people take that money and they go out and spend it. Well, in my opinion, that's classic wealth redistribution, because a person like me has to actually work to earn that money, and then that money goes to the government in form of taxes, federal, state, local taxes, and then so my money that I made is taken and redistributed and given to people who don't have jobs. I don't know how many people I'm carrying on my back right now.
that I don't even know. Do you? If you're out there and you're working and you have money taken out of your check to go into the state and local, state and federal government, some of that money is being used for unemployment compensation. If you don't believe me, look it up. So basically, when you go to work every day, you're helping to pay the bills of someone who is not going to work, who does not have a job, and in some cases, they're not even looking for a job. What is going on? So now back to my original theme here. President Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and company are pretty much promising to rob from the rich to give to the poor, a la Robin Hood. They haven't come right out and said any such thing. Let's be fair. But they have suggested it. Why else would so many people, unfortunately black folks, believe in their hearts that President Obama is going to buy them new houses, new cars, pay their mortgages, pay their gas bills, and give them free money? Now, my question to you is, what happens when they don't get it? Do they take up arms? Do they become so disillusioned that they riot? A la what is going on in the UK this past couple of weeks, and Greece and Italy and Spain and other places where the government has just had to come right out and say, you know, we can't afford to give you what we promised. Because that's what those governments were saying. They were saying that they can no longer afford to give you something for nothing. That, yes, the UK promised students that they would be able to go to college for virtually nothing. And so the government, in its idiocy, made this pledge to the citizens of England. Stick with us, folks. Vote for us. Vote our parties into office, and we'll give you something for nothing through your vote. We'll give you a free college education, virtually free. They have to pay something, but it's virtually free. Now the government is busted, broke. Sound familiar? So now the government is trying to take action. They're saying, hey, you know what? On second thought, you know that promise I made you about giving you, you know, free stuff, you know, a free education. I keep saying free, but it's not exactly free. It's pretty much free compared to what's being paid here. It's free. So they're saying we really don't have the money for that. You know, the money's just not rolling in like we thought it would. So we really can't afford to do this now. So we're going to have to go ahead and raise those tuition rates. Oh, hell no. So now the citizens, the youngsters are rioting, attacking the royal family even. Bashing the car with eggs and nearly trying to topple it over. Bursting out a window of a vehicle that is an armored, basically, virtually an armored car with bulletproof windows. The windows were bashed, cracked. And some industrious student yelled, "Off with their heads." That was clever. All because the government has had to admit that they cannot fulfill their promise of giving their citizens something for nothing.
This is where we're headed here in the United States. When Barack Obama gives his version of hope and change and wealth redistribution. Folks, please, don't take my word for it. We as a country do not have enough money to pay down our national debt, and we do not have enough money to put every single citizen through college, buy them houses, pay for their gas, and just give them free money. There's not enough money in this country to do that. It just isn't. This is not going, we're not going to live, I know some of you are just not feeling what I'm saying here, but we're not going to be able to live in a socialist utopia here. First of all, it doesn't work that way, and the majority of Americans won't stand for it. We're hardwired for something else, and it's called freedom, and it's called free enterprise, both of those. The two Fs, freedom and free enterprise, not free stuff for every single American. And some folks are going to have to get that through their heads. There's a person who spoke on the O'Reilly Factor, a professor no less, who suggests that the United States government can afford, that our country can afford to provide jobs to everyone, to provide homes to everyone, to provide cars to everyone, to provide educations to everyone, that we have enough money and enough resources, but that those resources are being diverted to the military-industrial complex. And that if we took money from the military and stopped building tanks and guns and airplanes and stuff like that, there would be enough money to give everybody everything they want, which is absurd. First of all, there is not enough money, even if we dismantled our entire military and took money from other places. There simply isn't enough money to do that. And the professor seems to conveniently have forgotten that the most important responsibility of our government is the protection of its citizens. And as a former military Marine officer, a career military professional, a warrior, which is what I was. I didn't sit behind a desk. I didn't work in supply. I was a warrior. I need to tell you right now, there are countries, there are enemies of this country that want what we have, our land masses, what money we have, what assets we have. They want it. Or they want to destroy it. I don't know why. Boys will be boys, I suppose. There's always a reason for wanting to see the downfall of this great nation. What the good professor is seeming to not understand or comprehend is that without the United States military, the most powerful military on this earth, ever devised by man, ever put together, actually protects this country from folks who would try to take everything we have away. But these folks, like the professor who appeared on O'Reilly's show tonight, believe that if we just be nice and leave everybody alone and don't go around pillaging and plundering, which we do not do, but those liberals, that's what they think. Or they're killing babies and eating them, or burning villages, and all of that. If we just stop and be real nice and sweet, the countries won't want to harm us. And then everybody can live in peace,
and sing Kumbaya. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. All of that with flowers and ribbons in their hair and dancing and free love and all of that. If only. But, of course, that doesn't work. Because we have our deity in chief running around all over the world, blasting American exceptionalism and our country in general, and apologizing everywhere he goes and bowing like the sissy that he is, the punk that he is. He's bowing, 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 bowing. There's no president in the history of this country ever did that. Well, I did see Nixon do it once when he visited China many, many years ago. But hey, you know, it's a part of the custom. But, you know, Obama's bowing to, the concierge. You know, he's bowing to the guy who takes the keys, the valet, you know. And he's just bowing left and right. And what are we getting for all this bowing and ass kissing that Obama's doing? Nothing. Nothing at all. We're not any safer. Folks are still trying to blow us to kingdom come. The world is still a very, very unsafe place, and Obama has virtually made it even worse. Because now, folks all over the world view us as being weak. And our leaders to be weak. Obama is viewed exactly as what he is, a punk. A candy ass. Obama's the kind of guy that when you see him on the school playground, you take his lunch money and you slap him around. And guess what? There are bullies like that now functioning as heads of governments and military operations who would like nothing more than to metaphorically slap Barack Obama around and take his lunch money. Because he's a punk. Let's just get it out there and call it what it is. You know, anytime he leaves Bill Clinton to take the ball and run with it and runs off and says he can't leave his wife waiting at a Christmas party, he's got to run off. I mean, that's a chump. I mean, can we just keep it real? Just for a moment. What a candy ass. All right. I want to thank you all for listening. To those of you that are listening, those of you who are downloading my show or streaming it or however you're getting it, I want to thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful evening and a great weekend. And let's talk again on Monday. I can't wait. There's probably going to be all sorts of crazy little things going on. So have a wonderful night. And we'll get together on Monday.
Twinkle, twinkle, little me, I have a lonely life. I'm the star upon your tree that makes your Christmas bright. Twinkle, twinkle, little me, I love the Milky Way. Just so I could come and be with you.